Welcome back to Stateside. I'm Cynthia Canty. For-profit healthcare systems taking over smaller community hospitals. It's become a distinct healthcare trend in our state. And it raises questions. Is this a way for a small community hospital to stay alive, expand, maybe modernize? Or is it a trend where bottom-line thinking will affect patient cost and quality of care? Writer Julie Edgar is with Bridge Magazine. Good to have you on the program, Julie.
Well, thank you for having me.
Well, how much consolidation have we seen so far in Michigan? I'm wondering when this started taking off.
Well, really since 2010, there has been a lot of merger activity in Michigan. But Michigan sort of lagged behind other states where mergers and acquisitions have been, you know, the norm for the last, say, 10 years or so. Really, it started in the 1990s. But in Michigan, there's been a lot of activity in the last 4 years or so.
And what's behind that? What kind of got things launched off in 2010?
Well, declining reimbursements really have driven a lot of the merger activity. So hospitals rely on Medicare and Medicaid payments, Medicare primarily, because it serves an older population. When the federal government started cutting the budget, hospitals started to suffer. That's sort of one factor in the trend. And also, nowadays, healthcare really is sort of performed more on an outpatient basis. There are fewer hospitalizations. Occupancy rates at hospitals are low-ish. Mm-hmm. Let's put it this way. They're nowhere near 100%. And so you've got a trend toward outpatient care, even of older adults. So there's not as much a need for acute facilities.
So that turns up the economic pressure, if you will, under these community hospitals.
Turns up a lot of pressure. Plus, they've got infrastructure needs, and it's expensive. Mm-hmm. So in record keeping, just in that one area alone, they need the technology to make it happen. They've got to meet federal mandates. The Affordable Care Act carries new requirements for healthcare institutions in general. So these standalone hospitals, they just can't afford it. Teaming up or becoming part of a larger system, well, it brings economies of scale. So it makes sense for them.
Give us an idea of some of the standalone hospitals that we're talking about, ones that have been taken over by these larger systems. For example,
let's look at Northern Michigan Hospital in Petoskey, which is tertiary care. So they offer specialized care, on the larger side, and it was taken over by McLaren. Mm-hmm. So that was a standalone, you know, again, a nonprofit. McLaren, by the way, is also nonprofit, and
right.
That's more of the norm, by the way, for nonprofits to take over. So that was a standalone hospital that went with McLaren because McLaren has a lot of buying power. It can make improvements that Northern Michigan decided it couldn't do on its own. They have an outdated plant. McLaren's going to invest. So you've got these hospitals that really just, I'm assuming they could survive, but they have a much better chance if they're part of a larger system.
Let's talk about what you found as you study these consolidations and you talk to people involved. What have you found that turned out well?
You know, it's hard to say because so many of these acquisitions are new. I did talk a little bit. I went to somebody over at Northern Michigan and mm-hmm. asked the question, what has changed? What have you noticed? Mm-hmm. And the response was, you know, not much. You know, they sort of bill differently, but it doesn't feel that much different. I talked to Sheila Kahn Monroe. She is an attorney for the Michigan Nurses Association. Mm-hmm. And I asked her, what about contract negotiations? What have you found now that these hospitals have become part of larger systems? And interestingly, she said the negotiations with Duke LifePoint, which is a for-profit that took over Marquette General, mm-hmm. bought Marquette General, were actually better than they were with McLaren, a nonprofit that has taken over several small hospitals in Michigan. So I found that kind of interesting that there's a perception that for-profits are more financially cutthroat, that they increase their profits by cutting staff. And she said, actually, you know, we had made some staffing ratio demands that they met. Now, this is the beginning.
Sure.
You know, who knows what the future is going to bring. But yeah, I mean, there's some sense that maybe, you know, everybody's interested in maximizing profits, and they do that on the backs of workers. So there's some sense that these mergers have resulted in economies of scale, that they're better for, certainly for the hospital systems themselves. There's a sense that there are certain services that for-profits will cut because they're not profitable, whereas nonprofits are likelier to maintain these sorts of programs.
But can we jump in and say, if I've got a small standalone hospital, you had mentioned Petoskey, when it becomes part of McLaren, do I start seeing modernized equipment, and do I now have access to more cutting-edge technology and medical treatments than I might have had before? So would that not be good for patients?
Yes, and that point has been made in the literature that when you have the money to invest, ultimately patients will benefit because they'll benefit by having more up-to-date equipment, better diagnostic equipment. And bigger hospital systems have better access to the best physicians.
More resources, sure.
And people don't want to really accept that that's the case, but doctors also go where the money is.
I'm speaking with writer Julie Edgar, who took a look at the trend of larger health systems gobbling up smaller standalone hospitals throughout Michigan. And as you looked at this for Bridge, Julie, how do you find that this trend is affecting costs of services at the former community hospitals?
Well, so the Robert Wood Johnson Foundation, and I mentioned this in the Bridge story, has been doing an ongoing, they've been reviewing studies that have been going on since 2006 of both quality of care and cost of care after mergers, hospital mergers.
Mm-hmm.
What they found is overall costs do rise once hospitals are sort of, they become part of a more concentrated system. So what they found is in markets where there are only one or two systems, costs do go up, and they found that in some cases they go up 20%. It happens particularly in the year or two after the acquisition. So, of course, when costs go up, well, insurers tend to pass those on to consumers in the form of higher premiums.
You did also note in your story for Bridge that in the local communities, by and large, it seems like there was a fair amount of enthusiasm from people, perhaps more enthusiasm and less suspicion about this trend.
Well, in Marquette, mm-hmm. which is really a dramatic example mm-hmm. of a merger or acquisition, it seemed to happen without a whole lot of fuss. They had community forums. And there was some concern about a hospital having monopoly on healthcare. Duke LifePoint, so Duke LifePoint is a joint venture between LifePoint, which is a hospital company or healthcare company, and Duke, which is part of Duke University's mm-hmm. health system. But LifePoint also took over two small community hospitals, basically in the wake of the Marquette acquisition. So there were some concerns about monopoly, that LifePoint now owns so much of the healthcare market in the UP that you don't have a choice. Consumers just don't have a choice. It's kind of like, you know, used to be that we could go to our corner hardware store, right, for nails and duct tape. Well, now
we have to go to the big box store.
Yes, I mean, you go to Home Depot or Lowe's.
Sure.
It's sort of similar. I mean, you know, I think a lot more complex because you're talking about people, you're talking about patient care, but I think that we can sort of look at it that way, that it's not a bad analogy, that now you've got one company that basically owns all of the healthcare institutions in the north central part of the UP.
Well, could one make the case that, that all of this is kind of echoes Darwin's theory of evolution with survival of the fittest? I mean, you think of today's healthcare world. Are these smaller standalone community hospitals forced to go the way of the GP who used to make house calls? That doesn't happen anymore. That these consolidations of themselves aren't inherently good or bad. They just are.
Well, yeah. I mean, that's my opinion. I mean, I feel like it's not good or bad because there's good and there's bad points. But the American Hospital Association says that only about 12% of community hospitals are part of larger systems at this point. They've come out with some research that shows that indeed, you know, it's not as bad as we think, you know, that there are lots of community hospitals, that only about 600 hospitals have been involved in a merger acquisition between 2007 and 2013. So they're making the argument that, oh, there are still lots of community hospitals out there. And that may be so, but I think you're right. I think that that's another very good way of looking at it, that this is just the evolution of the healthcare industry. Hospitals rely on the federal government for reimbursement. When the federal government pulls back, well, then they've got to respond. So I think that's, you know, that's driving it. And so I asked the question to the LifePoint, a LifePoint CEO who worked on this merger, this acquisition. And I said, so if reimbursements are down, if you're not getting patient volumes anymore, why buy a hospital? And not only why buy a hospital, but why invest in a brand new facility? They're scouting sites now to build a new hospital.
In Marquette?
In Marquette. And he said, well, because the population's aging. And the fact is that as people get older, and in Michigan our population is old, they're going to need hospitals. So in other words, yeah, right this moment, we have, you know, low occupancy, lower patient volumes, but it's not always going to be that way. And I think that's also driving, demographics drive another trend, which is hospitals acquiring long-term care facilities.
Planning ahead and watching us age.
Well, yeah, I think Michigan is just behind Florida in the percentage of its population that's over the age of 65. And so I think maybe Michigan is now kind of ripe for this kind of activity, you know, the merger and acquisition activity.
Julie Edgar's look at community hospitals and for-profits, larger groups gobbling them up, can be found in Bridge Magazine. Julie, thank you so much for talking with us.
Well, thank you so much, Cindy. I appreciate it.